Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show. Hit record now.
Yes. Would you like to say nice things?
Roll through all the controversial stuff before I hit record.
Yeah.
Then people will be like, ooh, what were they talking about?
Secrets.
Nothing stupid government stuff.
I wish Dr. Dre would have told me he wasn't a doctor before he took out my pancreas. Fact.
It's a good fact. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Podcast for Good. This is Season 2, Episode 8. We are celebrating Child Health Day.
Yeah.
My name is Philip Kerrigan. I'm the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and this is my partner in crime,
Heather Lucas, fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So we are talking to two charities today, talking about child health, exactly what I just said 1 minute ago.
Fact.
It's a kind of a cool little topic because study after study has shown that kids between the ages of 0 and 5 have the most developing to do, number one, and it's the most crucial time for a kid. And so these two charities actually dive into a little bit of that.
Yeah.
The first charity we talked to the executive director, Mary Ann Ruddis. Nice, nailed it. From Elevations, a children's therapy resource foundation based in Spokane. That's the coolest thing about this podcast is you can really hit any sort of geographic location.
Yeah.
So for those listening who are in Spokane and thinking, wow, all these charities from the West Side, very cool. Here's a Spokane charity for
Boom.
You. And then the second one is Run to Win Outreach. The camp director, Alice, I'm going to say Hahn.
I go with Alice Hahn.
All right. Yeah. And we were also joined shooting some video content, which was very weird. It felt a little bit like a Joe Rogan podcast where it was like in my face.
Yeah,
that was weird. I still don't get the concept of like filming a podcast.
A vodcast?
A vodcast. Yes.
See what I did there?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I think so I do watch from time to time like those especially the sports personalities, Dan Patrick and those guys.
I was exactly gonna say Dan Patrick, yeah.
They do video content. But it's more entertaining than we are.
Yeah. You think so?
I think. They have like a basketball hoop and a whole bunch of stuff around.
They have cool stuff around them. They have a space decorated. We have a conference room
is
decorated for
It has many law books. Smells of rich mahogany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Corinthian leather.
leather.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah. But we don't have, you know, basketball hoops.
We don't.
And cool cutouts of sports stars. And
although... I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah. But if we did it back at the CFD area, we'd have cool stuff back there.
Yeah.
We got to get our basketball hoop back up.
I know. For those who've never seen our office, we have a Fisher-Price Little Tykes hoop that we shoot on when we need some ideas.
Yep.
I've been pushing for a foosball table, but I'm pretty sure that Assistant Secretary of State Mark Neary will not go for that.
You know, he
it
would
clashes
go for it.
With the classic motif
it
of the
might.
Capitol.
I think he would go for it if he got to play the inaugural game.
That's correct. I think if he ever got to play, he'd be into it.
Yeah. And
right?
Of course, we'd let him play. I
mean, obviously.
Why wouldn't we let anybody play?
I mean, we would let everybody play.
Everybody.
Come on back.
You need some ideas?
To our area. So we're airing this on October 5th.
Yes.
We will be, it's kind of cool because we'll be talking about some of the upcoming events later on. We're basically right on the heels of the Masquerade Ball.
Yeah.
So for those who are interested in that, I still want you to go buy tickets because they're going to sell out fast. I just want to do that shout out before we begin everything because we always have it at the end and I feel like people may just ignore the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to do it now.
Nice.
Plug Masquerade Ball. Figured I would do that today.
They only care about this part, and then they're like, oh, you're going to talk to charities? I don't care. You got upcoming events? I don't care.
Yeah, that's
bye.
Fine. Yeah, bye. So before we get into these two charities, we always have a question of the pod. What is today's question of the pod?
Philip Kerrigan.
Yes.
What was your favorite childhood junk food? Since we're talking child health day, you know, obesity is one of those things. And I thought, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Philip had to have had like snacks and things, junk food.
I mean, I still have it today,
exactly.
Which is
that's
a bit of a problem.
That's why I knew.
It's a bit of a problem for me.
This question would appeal. Favorite childhood junk food.
So I was never really like a big chocolate kid. I didn't really like
neither.
A lot of chocolate. And I always think it's funny because my middle son, John, he always is like, Dad, I'm thirsty. I want chocolate milk. And I'm always like, kid, that's not going to quench any thirst. Why do kids love milk? And why do they think it's like Gatorade? Like it's going to like hydrate them back up.
Right?
It's weird.
Yeah.
So I was never really that kid. It was into like the chocolate or the you know, dairy heavy products.
Okay.
Because, you know, then I would just have to like get a glass of water or something.
Milk was a bad choice, right? Yeah.
So for me, it was the salty snacks. Yeah. That is still an issue today.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So really, you're talking any sort of potato chip. My number one potato chip was the Doritos Nacho Cheese.
Okay.
And once I discovered that, I think I was probably in like seventh grade. It was like a mind-blowing situation. I'm not a Cool Ranch Dorito guy.
Oh, man.
Are you?
I dig them.
Really?
But
are they your favorite one?
I'd say it's that or Spicy Nacho.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I know that
those
Dorito.
Those Blazin' Hot ones.
Yeah.
They're up
you
there.
You notice how Dorito tried for a little while to like venture into other things, like different types?
Kind of like how Lay's is doing that
cappuccino
chip, and you're like, what?
Right.
I do not
what are they
want
doing
sweet
with some
coffee
of these flavors?
On my chips.
All right. What are they doing with some
biscuits
of these flavors?
Biscuits and gravy.
I know. Biscuits and gravy, leave it to biscuits and gravy. Yeah. Also, I don't know that I want the thing, the chemical, that makes my potato chip taste like biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Right?
What is that combination?
I know. I don't
That's
know how
be
you
something
do that.
Disgusting.
Yeah, so I'm not into those. I distrust them very much. So it was definitely the nacho cheese Doritos. I know that that's a polarizing subject, which Dorito is better, Cool Ranch or nacho cheese. I understand that.
Polarizing topic. Nice.
And then in terms of a candy,
I
rolled all times, like no question about it, it was always Skittles.
Oh.
It was always Skittles. Okay. I celebrated when they moved away from the green lime to an apple.
Nope.
Oh, see?
Yeah,
see? I totally disagree. Yep. I totally disagree. You already had a lemon.
Sure.
Yeah, but you didn't need the lime. You had
but
two bitters?
Did you have to go apple?
I don't know. I mean, you could have eliminated green and then just come up with another one. And what do you have, what's your feelings on like mixed berry? The berry kinds and stuff like that.
See, yeah, I mean, like, they're okay, but they do kind of feel like, are you trying to make a smoothie here? What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they had a Skittles smoothie.
Yeah, did they?
Yeah, they called it, it was like the Skittles smoothie flavor.
Weird.
Which was just basically mixed berry.
Yeah, right?
Right? So you just stick with the berry.
Why are you trying?
Yeah, just stick with the berry kind. So that was my number one. I evolved eventually into Mike and Ike's. Big fan of the Mike and Ike. Still eat those today.
Yeah.
They are delicious.
Yeah.
And then since my mom was from Germany, I used to get the original, like, Haribo gummy bears.
Yeah, totally.
Right? And so they taste a lot better because, you know, Germans don't want to poison their children. So they used real sugar instead of red dye number 5.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And it tasted a lot better. I like those, too. They were really good.
Yeah.
So those are that's my wheelhouse. Those are my top. Those are the salty snack was the nacho cheese Doritos. And the sweet things were always like a fruit-based sort of like gummy of some kind.
Yeah.
What about you?
I always dug Cheetos. Crunchy Cheetos.
Oh, so not Puffs.
Not Puffs. Like Puffs, I could do Puffs.
Yeah.
But like I find that the way I eat those compared to the crunchy ones.
Yeah.
Like I'll kind of suck on them a little and they'll disintegrate.
Yeah.
So I definitely dig the crunchy ones for sure.
That's a good one. That's a good chip.
Right?
Yes.
I was actually thinking about the only chocolate thing that I really ever did when I was a kid was those Little Debbie peanut butter bars.
Oh,
you know, and they have those layers of the peanut butter and wafer and outside is chocolate. Uh-huh. It's like that chocolate plastic
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Yeah, so that was as chocolate as I went.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and then like sweet stuff, I always went the fruit cycle.
Yep.
So yeah, like Skittles was definitely like up there.
Yeah.
But there was it Mamba? Do you remember Mamba?
Oh my gosh, Mamba. Weren't they in the sort of now and later category
kinda,
or whatever? No, what was
except
that one?
They were softer.
Yeah.
They were like Airheads.
Okay. Kinda. I remember Mamba. I used to always roll my eyes whenever I got Mamba from Halloween. I'd get out there on Halloween and, you know, you get out there with your bag and then it'd be like trick or treat and she'd throw a Mamba in there and I'd be like, a Mamba? Really? Cheap ass. Why don't you get something real?
That was your cheap ass?
Well, that,
instead of like the little Smarties?
The Now and Laters were the ones that were basically like Starburst, but they were rock hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why is it that Now and Later, like,
thought that was the way to go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I always just thought that maybe Now and Laters were, every Now and Later was just expired.
Yeah, right.
So they were just like,
these have been on the shelf for 5 years.
Right. And then
they survived the zombie apocalypse that never happened.
Yeah. But then now I realize like that was their intention.
Yeah.
To be rock hard.
Maybe they just wanted like that, those moments of peace when a child is trying to chew through it. Child isn't talking.
Right, right.
Child is chewing through the rock hard. Now
I had a Jolly Rancher phase for a while.
Yeah.
But Jolly Ranchers are too like much, you know, I'm not really. And they stick to your teeth a little bit. So
like Now and Later.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Now and Laters, which were ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Sponsor the show.
Yeah. Today's show brought to you by Now and Later.
Excellent.
So that was Philip and Heather's Candy Corner.
Hey! We should have a candy corner and sell some serious candy.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Shout out to two people in the office. I'm just going to say it right now. Shout out to two people in the office who continue to hand out candy, Kate Jacob and Heather Hirataka.
Oh, yeah.
Always have candy at their stations.
True.
Keep up the good work there. Yeah, thank you for continuing my childhood candy fetish.
Boom.
So without any further ado, actually, no, there is further ado. I want one person, just one person on Twitter to tell us what your favorite candy is. If it has to be Jerrica herself, please hit us up at WaStateCFD, hashtag CFD candy.
Yeah. CFD Candy Corner.
Wait, CFD Candy. Oh, hashtag CFD Candy Corner.
Write that down.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, hashtag CFD Candy Corner. Go ahead and tell us your favorite candy. Now we're going to get into the interview with Mary Ann Ruddis, the Executive Director of Elevations, a Children's Therapy Resource Foundation.
All right, we're here with Mary Ann Ruddis, the Executive Director of Elevations, a Children's Therapy Resource Foundation. Mary Ann, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So can you give us a little history about Elevations and what your organization does for the community?
Elevations was founded in 2012. And our primary function is to provide access to therapy services and specialized equipment for children with special needs. And so the organization began because parents and clinic owners and the community noticed that children were not getting the services they needed because of their parents' inability to pay. And we just found that unacceptable, so we decided to start the organization to help fill in the gaps where insurance doesn't cover things or they undercover services, and also for things that are not covered at all by insurance.
Yeah.
So that the kids get what they need.
So where are you based out of?
We're based in Spokane Valley. We serve Spokane County. So for children that are receiving services in Spokane County, we can help them.
Excellent. Excellent. In your experience, what kind of things should we focus on that are important to a child's growth overall? What are some of the things that you guys see when you're first dealing with a child?
You know, we found that there were so many children that could benefit from physical, occupational, speech therapy, but didn't have the means to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we wanted to do was to make sure that every child could get those services. You know, and I know we were going to be talking a little bit about, Child Health Day. So there are a lot of factors that we wanted to look at as far as, you know, when a child is 5 years old and they don't get the speech therapy that they need, by the time they're 18, they have may have missed out on some really critical milestones
right.
for occupational therapy. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we get those kids into the services that they need when they need them.
I've read in books before about how the ages of basically 0 through 5 are incredibly important. Has that been your experience as well?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think there's the birth to 3 is a very critical stage.
Okay.
But then up until 5 and 6 years old, yes, that is very, very, it's critical that kids get what they need at that time.
Yeah.
Because it will affect the trajectory of their entire life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy to think that the first 5 years are the target window.
Right. We try to do, too, is strengthen the entire family. So even right. though we're providing funding specific to these therapies for a child with special needs, there is, caring for children with special needs is emotionally and financially draining.
Right.
And so just being able to provide a little bit of peace of mind mm-hmm. For the families that they don't have to choose between getting their child therapy services or getting food on the table really strengthens that entire family unit, too, which yeah. helps all the children in the family.
Excellent.
So you mentioned occupational therapy and speech therapy. How uh-huh. effective has therapy been for children in your program?
So we don't provide the therapy. We provide the funding for the therapy.
Oh, okay.
So, but, you know, I can just give you some anecdotal
sure.
Responses that we've received from parents that, you know, it has changed their child's life. We had one mom that told us that and the therapy that her daughter needed was covered by the insurance. But the testing to target exactly where she needed to go was not covered.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Elevations was able to step in and provide funding to get the proper testing done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the child was able to get into the right service that was going to benefit her for the rest of her life. And her mom told me, she said, I don't think that she would have ever been able to live on her own. But
wow.
now I know that she will be someday. So,
wow.
So it makes a huge impact on not only the kids but the parents.
Yeah, that's incredible. Since this podcast is about Child Health Day, what do you think parents can do to improve the health of their children? That's one of the bigger conversations, of course, today is that, you know, the nature of the economy is such that both parents have to work now, or, you know,
right.
or one parent sacrifices and stays at home while the other goes to work and maybe they don't have as much money. What can parents do in sort of this space we're living in right now to help with child health?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, some of the key focus areas. I think right now 1 in 6 kids are overweight.
Oh,
and
wow.
So being able to, and those kind of things can lead to lifelong health issues.
Right.
Prenatal care is huge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Adolescent health. Making sure that children get exercise, you know, that they get to be outside. And, you know, diet, I'm a firm believer that diet is a big component. And so having healthy eating and lifestyle choices because, and also immunizations. And
yeah.
making sure that children get everything that they need in order to be able to grow up and have a healthy lifestyle, not just you know, a fix afterwards.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, and that's part of what these therapies do, too, is they help teach parents how to, you know, we have many parents that learn from their therapist how to work with their child at home. So there are some simple things that they can do every day with their child in order to foster that health and, you know, and a healthy mindset, I mm-hmm. think, would be kind of a good way to put it.
Would you say that you deal more with, like, the physical type of therapy, or would you say you see more cases of assisting people with the mental and emotional side of therapy?
You know, we have all of the above.
Okay.
So what, mostly when we were founded, it was the clinics that we're working with right now work with the physical and the occupational speech, those kind of things.
Right.
But also we have done some mental health assistance. And we're starting to look into that a little bit more. And as our program expands and we become better known in our community, you know, we're relatively new. Even though we were founded in 2012, we didn't do our first funding cycle until 2013.
Okay.
And so we're still just kind of letting people know we're here.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is a great need is that mental health piece. And so if an insurance company only covers 20 visits a year, what do you do for the rest of the year
until right.
your insurance kicks back in? So, you know, we're looking at that right now.
Do you
have those programs as well.
Do you deal mostly, I mean, what your clientele base, folks who come to you for assistance, are these folks mostly on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder? Are they, or is it kind of an eclectic mix? Who's your typical sort of clientele that you usually deal with?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a mix.
Oh.
We do deal with some families that are on the lower end of the socioeconomic status. You know, the Medicaid will cover. Does a pretty good job of covering a lot of the actual therapies.
Okay.
But what they don't cover is anything for home use.
Mm.
So if a child is using a particular piece of equipment in a therapy session and it's showing benefit, then those families can apply to us to have that piece of equipment at home. It helps the child at home be able to self-soothe. It helps to the parents to be able to work with their child in between therapy visits. But for the most part, we're working with families that are working, that have insurance. You're probably lower to middle-class families who just – I can give you an example. We had one family who their daughter is in treatment. She's receiving occupational therapy and speech therapy. And it's not unusual for children to be in multiple therapies. So she's receiving both of those. And their co-pays were $12 per visit. So they were paying $24 a week.
Yeah.
As of the first of the year in 2018, their co-pays went up to $30.
Yeah.
So $24 a week became $60 a week.
Wow.
And so the question they were asking, which therapy do we drop?
Yeah.
And
wow.
that's what we want to prevent. We
right.
We want to make sure that these kids get their recommended course of treatment and graduate out of it and then go on and live happy, healthy lives. You know, our tagline is living up to their full potential, and that's what we want to ensure.
Mm.
So that's probably most of our families are probably that middle class, and we didn't want to look at the income requirements because if they can get Medicaid, then again those therapies are covered.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the equipment. So
yeah, excellent.
Do you know
yeah.
anything about how people in your side of the state are dealing with covering insurance as opposed to Western Washington? I know that there's a lot of wealth in certain places in Western Washington and not so much in Eastern Washington. But are you seeing, do you know anything about the struggle between families covering insurance throughout the state?
You know, I'm just starting to look into that, and I don't. Have that information right
sure.
now. I know there's some initiatives going on that the over in Eastern Washington, but I'm not completely involved in that yet.
Sure.
So I really can't answer
yeah.
that.
That's no problem. So yeah. let's say someone hears the podcast and they really like you and they want to start giving to Elevations. Can you talk a little bit about what donations would do for your organization?
Well, we're, you know, 100% community funded, and so what the donations will do is change the trajectory of a child's life, so we can be able to pay for co-pays and deductibles, things that insurance doesn't cover. We've done some HIPAA therapy, we've done some music therapy that again, are not covered by insurance, but have a great benefit to the kids and their whole family life. So donations will help pay for those things.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty targeted in what we do, and
yeah.
it's funding for these therapies.
Awesome.
And the equipment. You know, we had one family that requested a therapy ball, which is $30. And, you know, some of us might think that, wow, $30, that's not a lot. But for that family, they needed that help.
Yeah.
We had another family just recently who their son, he couldn't sit up by himself. So he was either on the floor or it being held in somebody's arms. And so he has a twin brother. And for him to be able to play with his brother that just wasn't able to do that,
mm-hmm.
we were able to get him two specialized chairs, one for the bath and one for just everyday use. And it completely changed his life.
Nice.
And
that's
his
awesome.
Mom said, you know, he could just to see him playing in the bathtub with his brother
mm-hmm.
without having to worry about him slipping under the water is just immeasurable.
Yeah.
And those chairs were almost $900.
Yeah.
So that would have
yeah.
been completely out of reach for that
right.
family. And yet it just completely changed that child's life.
Yeah. Yeah. Very neat. Very cool.
Do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Oh, you know, one thing that we believe at Elevations is that we can have fun and party with a purpose.
All right.
So, so we do a Halloween party every year.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And that's October 27th.
Excellent.
And so we're really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Well, hey, thank you very much, Marianne, for coming on the podcast and talking to us a little bit about Elevations.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you for having us on. We're really happy to be able to contribute.
Awesome. And that was Marianne with a really interesting conversation about really basically help fund families who may be struggling to get by with some of their bills. Really good examples of, you know, those little things that we don't usually recognize getting in people's way when it comes to, you know, treating the kids for various physical and emotional ailments. So that was really neat. We're going to dive right into the next interview with Run to Win Outreach, and that is Alice Hahn, the camp director. And full disclosure, apparently we will be having video on this one, so this is interesting. Here it is. So we are here with camp director Alice Hahn and director of marketing and assistant camp director Torin Dooley.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I nailed it. On the Run to Win Outreach, you are also videoing.
Yes.
So this is cool.
This is, yeah.
Multimedia. We're at like another level at
yes.
this point. Excellent. So can you guys talk a little bit about your organization, what it does for the community?
Mm-hmm. So Run to Win Outreach is a sports ministry. So we are a nonprofit organization. And essentially what we do is many things. We have a youth outreach. We have an ongoing ministry. We do mainly summer sports camps for kids in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm the director of.
Mm-hmm.
And then our founder and co-founder, Mike and Karen Warbeck, they do chaplaincies during the off season. So
okay.
fall, they do chaplaincy. So does Torin.
Mm-hmm.
We do chapels with many different schools and universities
mm-hmm.
In the Puget Sound area. And so that's how we're involved. And we do a lot of just ongoing ministry, as in getting to know people
mm-hmm.
and living life with them
yeah.
and, you know, whatever they need, we
yeah.
we just step in and help in that way. And so we're just
yeah.
living life with everybody.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where are you guys based out of, and who and what service area do you typically assist?
Mm-hmm. Our office is in Edmonds, but really we go all the way down to Federal Way, all the way up to, we're trying to go up to Stanwood next year and
okay.
do camps there. So we're kind of everywhere
yeah.
on the east side, I-90, Issaquah area. So
nice.
Yeah, we're just everywhere.
Excellent. Awesome. Awesome.
So your organization really promotes physical activity for kids. What kind of difference have you seen, like, working with kids when they are, like, sedentary to becoming physical? Like, what kind of difference have you seen?
Yeah, I think so I coached all growing up. I played sports and all that. So being in that area of just physical activity
mm-hmm.
and seeing, I think the ability for kids to get out and just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But actually exercise and stuff like that. I can't tell you how many times the kids are just like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm outside.
Yeah.
And so like emotionally, I see it become more of a, just an outlet for them to be free from mm-hmm. just staying inside. And it's like, we had the smoke this year, and yeah. so that was rough for us.
Yeah.
We
were
like, yeah. I mean, I think I was coaching a lacrosse camp and we're trying to do lacrosse in a gym. And they're like, get us outside because right. we can't do anything.
Right.
And so just seeing their, just an attitude change
yeah.
of I get to let go. And at the end of camp, it's like, oh my gosh, that was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to come back tomorrow. And it's like, one of the things I love to do is a relay race in the mm-hmm. beginning of the day. And all that is just to get them going, just yeah. to get them running and yeah. excited and cheering. And so those are the things that get us excited because we get to see not only just them having fun, but then they're getting out of their normal routine of sitting in a chair, listening to a teacher or something like that, which is great, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's yeah. the attitude change is huge. Yeah.
Do you think they're excited. Much more positive afterward?
Depending on how their game goes.
The outcome of the game.
If they don't win the relay, it's yeah. like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Competition.
So,
really
yeah, so add a little bit of competition there, and they get psyched. They're yeah. ready to go. Yeah. So, nice. But yeah, attitudes change.
I've noticed a lot of times the kids tend to be able to focus more. I think people mistake that a kid is acting crazy and going nuts because they can't focus, especially with boys. If you get them out and you get them running and you get them doing something, they're actually able to focus more after that's done. They actually are more open to learning afterwards. I mean, have you noticed that? That they're able actually to focus maybe a little bit more?
I think that was, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is what we try and teach our coaches of mm-hmm. it's better to get them active mm-hmm. and moving around rather than talking at them because that's why I do the relay races in the beginning is because right after you get them stimulated with physical activity, then they want to get back in it. What's next?
Yeah.
What's next? And yeah. so then you get to teach them actually about the sport or whatever that is because they're already, their endorphins are going, they're ready to go. And now they're like, okay, what's up? Like, mm-hmm. what's the next competition?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you run with them and then they get even more excited. And so, yeah, absolutely. Like
yeah.
when they sit there forever, we're talking to them. They're just like, oh, what's next? I don't,
yeah.
you know?
And, yeah.
And then, but you get them running and they're just like, okay, let's go.
That's what's awesome. Next?
What nice.
Yeah. So it's yeah. fun. How long are your guys' camps typically?
Mm-hmm. So we have, so when school ends, that's mm-hmm. when we kind of just jump in right away and be like, okay, we want to service these kids and these families. So really we have camps for 12 weeks of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then each camp, depending on who we're partnering with. So if we're partnering with a church or an organization,
mm-hmm.
usually our camps are 3 to 5 days, depending. And usually it's one sport or two sports or up to even 3 or 4 sports if we want to do a whole festival of sports.
Sure.
Nice.
And so it's around 3 hours in the morning from 9 to 12, or mm-hmm. it's usually from 1 to 4, depending on what the need is of that church or mm-hmm. the community. But we also partner with the YMCA in the different areas too, and they have all-day camps. 10 weeks straight, no mm-hmm. no stop, and
yeah.
wow.
literally from 9 to 4, and so they're go, go, go.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it definitely is really rewarding,
right.
and like what Torin was talking about earlier, just when the kids are out there, not just like physically and mentally, but socially, they just learn so much.
Yeah.
How to interact with each other, how to interact with, you know, adults,
mm-hmm. yeah.
how adults should be interacting with kids, and then they just learn about themselves. I think mm-hmm. that's the biggest part.
Yeah.
They learn about what they can do, what they can't do. And if they can't do something successfully, our goal at Run to Win is to really make sure that they're feeling encouraged and feel successful, even if it's not the outcome that they wanted.
Right.
And so that's something that we definitely drill into these kids, saying, yeah. hey, it's not about what you do. It's about how much you try and how, you know, how far you grow in that.
Yeah.
I've always noticed that about sports, because I grew up playing sports right. as well. One of the things that I always loved about sports wasn't actually the standings or ultimately how many points were mm-hmm. scored or all those sort of things. One of the core things I've always loved about sports is it does teach you how to win and lose mm-hmm. gracefully, which mm-hmm. there's not a ton out there mm-hmm. that does that. And mm-hmm. I think sports really helps you kind of grasp the concept that, like, you could work really hard
mm-hmm.
and there still might be someone better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And like, do you deal with it gracefully or do you deal with it, you know, with petulance? I think that's really interesting, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah.
It's just that attitude of, even if you lost by points, in your heart, do you feel like a loser? Probably not. If you tried your best,
yeah.
If you really feel like as a team, you guys worked hard and you guys set a goal. And if you guys didn't meet the goal, what can we do to do it better next
yeah.
time?
Yeah.
That's
the beauty of it.
So you are like a traveling curriculum of sorts, if you will. So you work with local organizations mm-hmm. up and down the sort of I-5 mm-hmm. corridor, essentially.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. And do you deal mostly with faith-based organizations like churches? Mm-hmm. Or do you venture out with maybe ones that aren't specifically attached to churches?
Yeah, so we work with a bunch of different organizations. Obviously, our hearts are for ministry and churches, but mm-hmm. we love the community. Our hearts are just to really be out there, especially serving the inner city and what can we do in the inner city. And so we partner with a lot of organizations, especially with Yes Foundation. I don't know if you guys know about Yes Foundation, mm-hmm. but they are in White Center.
Yeah.
And Pat Thompson, she's amazing. We love her. We've been partnering with her for 15 years. And that's the only time that Torin was like saying that. That's the only time that Cougs and dogs come together. And so it's amazing. We love that organization, the people that they bring, the kids that are there. It's just, you just get to grow with them and learn mm-hmm. with them. And so we are open to working with anyone and everyone that just wants to send a message of hope and positive just encouragement.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're pretty much open to anything yeah. and just to sure. really bring nice. Community together. Mm-hmm.
So you get kids outside, you get kids who are busy doing stuff, right? Mm-hmm. How difficult have you found or have you had any difficulty with getting kids to, say, disconnect from social media or their phones and electronics? Do you see this as an issue?
I think, yeah, in some parts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Depending on what, because at the YMCA, they have different regulations and rules than we do, which
sure.
we abide by. But it just kind of depends on, they have more downtime. And so when they have the downtime.
Yeah. Phones
yeah,
come out.
Phones come out. And,
yeah.
So the game Fortnite, it was nonstop. That's all they talked about. Of like,
yeah.
hey, what are you guys going to do when you go home? I'm going to play Fortnite. And so that in itself was like, if I told them I didn't play Fortnite, that became like, what do you mean?
You're like, you lose like all credibility.
Outside, yeah, I'm yeah. stupid. I'm like, you don't know the dances. How do you not yeah. know the dances? Yeah. Like,
dances.
And so that was a part of like, if anyone scored a goal
yeah.
or if anyone did,
oh
anything,
man, yeah.
it's a Fortnite
oh.
dance.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and so
yeah.
they still brought that in and like all of that. But I would always ask them like, do you like this or Fortnite better? Like, what do you really like? And they're
yeah.
like, well, this is more fun, but Fortnite, you know, whatever they say about it. But yeah, seeing those disconnects of mm-hmm. like, you get to come out and see that. I would always try and make a point, like, you're doing something that's helping you on a number of levels, and comparing video games and all that stuff, what they want to be on their phones
right.
or whatever that would be. I mean, a lot of it was linked. Most of the conversation was linked to that.
Yeah.
This is what we do outside.
Yeah.
And I was always trying to gauge, like, do you like this or do you like that better? It was usually, most of the time, it was like, depending on the day. If it was really hot, they're like, no, I want to play Fortnite.
But yeah,
if it was
yeah.
like a fun day, they're like, no, like, let's keep playing. Like, I don't even think about it.
Right.
Nice.
So,
right.
Yeah. So you see those, it's a balance.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What sort of age group do you guys cater to?
So we are mainly 6 to 14.
Okay.
But you know, there's always those parents who have a 5-year-old and they're like, can we just send our 5-year-old
yeah.
with? And we're like, yeah, definitely. If they can manage themselves and if their, you know, sibling will be, make sure they're being responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So we are really from 5 to 14, if you want to look
right.
at that way. And then anyone else that is older than that, we definitely have a camper to coach program.
Oh, okay.
It's not really explicit, but it's our heart, in which we have a lot of coaches who become who were campers when they're younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we just do this whole lifelong journey
cool.
with them and
cool.
help them socially and with their resumes and all of that. And
oh, that's awesome.
It's awesome. It's
yeah.
fun. It's like a family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. How important is it for kids to connect with older kids and adults who play sports?
It changes everything, I feel like. It really does. If you have a role model that
mm-hmm.
is someone who plays sports, is an active person, even as a parent, you know, if you show that same role modeling, that you're eating healthy, you're playing, you know, sports, you're exercising, it changes everything for those kids. They learn how to manage time better.
Mm-hmm.
They learn how that social interactions aren't always, you know, negative or always positive. It could be both.
Mm-hmm.
They learn that as an adult, you can still play sports too. You know, you don't have to just sit there and act all mean and grumpy and you're always on your computer. So I think it just changes everything for their outlook on life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think one of the things we got in a survey too of parents said it was really cool to see the big kids hanging out with the little, like I had a 5 year old and the big kids were just so cool.
Yeah.
And, like, able to hang out.
Yeah.
And so creating an environment where it's not that I'm older, you're younger.
Everybody's separate.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. It's this, not only do you see that within, you know, a 5 year old and a 12 year old, but then that same exact thing. It's like, oh, okay. We're in this together. We're no matter you're older, but we're still in this together.
Yeah, so really you notice that too. I think that some adults get scared because they're like, well, what sort of influences are these older kids going to have on the young kids? But actually, they kind of almost take pride in being the like role model for that little kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It gives them a sense of purpose almost.
Oh, yeah, totally. When we see a kid who is maybe like 12 and he's on the older cusp of the, you know, the range of ages and he's just like, at first he's like, I don't want to be here. This is awkward. I feel old and I feel like I don't connect with the little kids because we have a lot of little kids.
Sure.
But then at the end of the week, he is or she is just totally in it. We make them junior leaders or junior coaches and then we have them give them responsibility and they're just totally own up to it. They make sure that the kids are listening and it's just like a total dynamic of leadership that they feel that they get.
Yeah.
And from there, it just launches them into like a whole mindset of like, I want to take care of the younger ones.
Yeah.
I want to help them learn this. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a drill you don't know. Let me teach you. And it just becomes like this whole family dynamic of like, let's encourage each other. And it's amazing.
That's really cool.
Nice.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So let's say someone hears the podcast and they want to start giving to Run to Win Outreach, which they will now. Obviously. Can you guys talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Mm-hmm. So we have a Team 54 program. So it's really our founder, Mike Rohrbach, he was a linebacker back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
He was a co-captain of the 78 Rose Bowl championship.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Pretty big. and his number was 54.
Okay.
So really, essentially, we use the number 54 to say, hey, $54 will send a child to camp. And
cool.
Our philosophy is that we never turn a child or family ever away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always able to come to camp because that's just our heart. And that's what Mike's heart is. And he was scholarship to camp one day and it changed his life. So that's exactly what we want to do for kids and families in our area. And so we scholarship more than half the kids that come to camp.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
And our donors and people who love us. That's their heart too. They just want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to learn about sports and about themselves and be surrounded by people who just want to encourage them and pour into them. And so definitely $54 is what it takes to send a child to camp. But anything lower than that will give them a ball, a t-shirt, a water bottle, because that's what we give them.
Mm-hmm.
They also just get to be surrounded by people that love them and
you
know, want to encourage them and see them grow from little to old, you know. What else, Torin?
I think that was perfect.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Good one.
So do you guys have any programs or upcoming events you want to highlight?
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about
We have in November we're trying to knock down a date, but we have our tip-off luncheon,
okay,
we call it. So it's with UW men's and women's head basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
They come and they speak a little bit, spend a little, you know, encourage a little bit, just kind of talk about their season, really.
Yeah.
Because that's Mike and Karen Rohrbach. They're the chaplains there, so they love to say how much they love having them there.
Right.
But then on top of that, just kind of talk about the season, and we do a little luncheon, and we'll have do we have a speaker this year? I think it's just
– I don't know if it's locked in, but usually we have an amazing speaker usually an UW alum and a super athlete or someone
cool.
Last year we had John Brockman.
We had John Brockman
last year. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mike did his wedding and – they're in ministry together with, so it's like just this cool community that, so that's in November. We have that, and that's usually at the Seattle Yacht Club.
Okay.
So that'll be out on our social media, that'll be out on our website.
We're excellent.
Posting that up, and then our big one is in May. It's on May 4th. It's our auction. annual dinner auction, and the theme is going to be a Star Wars theme.
Oh, okay. I love it.
It's going to be sweet.
Hashtag not only nerds.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's going to be nerd out. It's going to be sweet. But that also is unique because it's 5'4", which is Mike's number 50.
That's so cool.
It's going to be nuts. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You don't want to miss it.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Those are the events that are popping up.
Sweet. Great. Well, Alice, Torin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
It was fun.
Okay, and that was Run to Win Outreach. Both really interesting conversations about helping kids at a certain age and improving their health. Ms. Lucas, do you have some facts and figures on the
child
state of child health care in Washington
Not
State?
Not child health care
just
in Washington
health?
State, just child health day.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because I'd really like to know actually what that is.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Hashtag, what is it? No, that's not a thing. All right, so Child Health Day.
Yes.
First celebrated in 1928. There was a proclamation by President Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, good old Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, heck of a president there.
So, yeah. History nerds, no, it's not true. So it didn't really get celebrated until the 60s.
Okay.
So they didn't really do anything about it until then.
Okay.
But it's the first Monday in October. So this year,
okay.
October 1st, is
okay.
Child Health Day.
So okay.
We just celebrated it.
All right.
And they have this hashtag, Commit for the Kids.
Commit for the Kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a U.S. federal observance.
Okay.
Agencies and organizations concerned with child welfare, they raise awareness about the, quote, fundamental necessity of a year-round program to protect and develop the health of children in the United States.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So there are different places, hospitals, schools, foundations that do, like, promotions and things.
Mm-hmm,
like, I saw,
mm-hmm.
I was doing research, and I saw, like, there was this big dance-a-thon thing that had happened.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Like, you know, if you have a dance-a-thon, you can get people who pledge money and who do things where they're, like, getting kids involved. Kids, I'm sure, love dancing.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Gonzaga actually had a Zagathon.
Zagathon.
And it was recognized for winning the Best Funds in Action Post Social Media Challenge.
Interesting.
So they had this graphic they posted, and I'll share it on the podcast about last year what they did. And they just shared what their donations brought in. So, like, they raised $27,649 for children's vein finders for IV starts.
Children's vein finders.
Yeah, and then there were things for, like, premature infant developmental positioning, 3D heart scans for infant patients, security equipment, and aspiration prevention equipment. So they raised, like, it looks like over almost $35,000. So just for that stuff.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
Good on you, Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Gonzaga. Yeah.
So that was their dance marathon, their Zagathon.
Their Zagathon.
Yeah.
Their Zagathon. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Good job, Gonzaga. This week's podcast for Children's Health Day. This is a part of, as you have probably noticed through your iTunes feed, this is now a part of something we're doing every day during the campaign, which is we're dropping a podcast every single day.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we're keeping our standard podcasts for good, which are our main ones, the bigger ones, the ones that have, two charities, and we talk about one particular issue. Those will remain throughout the duration of the campaign. But we do invite you to not only listen to these, but then also listen to any of those that come up on a daily basis. Those are more like 10, 15 minutes, and they're hitting on one charity, and they're just talking about pricing points and, you know, different things that charities do. These, of course, dive more into a particular issue and do those sort of things. But from here on out, there's going to be a podcast every single day of some kind.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, lots of work. Lots of work.
Why do you do this to me?
Yeah, it's pretty insane. So, basically, Monday through Fridays, usually you're going to have something, and then on the weeks that we have the bigger podcasts like this, Monday through Thursday, you're going to have the small ones, and then we're going to have the standard Heather and Philip show.
CFD Candy Corner.
So that's what's happening this week. We also just wrapped up the first week to give.
Boom.
Which I think is always an incredible success. We'll have more numbers for folks the next time that we're on the podcast, because we still actually run it all the way through the weekend. So for those who haven't actually made a donation yet, or if you go on shift this weekend or something like that, you still have an opportunity. It's really simple. If you start a $5 donation to any charity of any kind in our program through your paycheck, if you up a current donation of any kind to any of the charities you currently give to by $5, or if you even log one volunteer hour,
yeah,
a date in between October 1st and October 7th, you actually get a $5 Starbucks card.
Yeah.
It is that simple.
Boom. I love it.
Very cool. The other thing that we want to hit on, I hit on it at the beginning of the podcast. I want to hit on it again because tickets are actually going to sell out.
Yes.
It's just going to happen. So there is some room still available. There is not a ton. So we want folks who are really interested in going to this year's Masquerade Ball to come. We gathered all of the notes from all of our guests last year. We made some pretty significant changes to the ball in terms of locations of different things.
Yeah.
We're offering a few new fun things, including the VIP experience. We will also have a raffle during the event, which we haven't had before. So there's a bunch of new things going on at the Masquerade Ball. If you've come before, we encourage you to get your tickets because it will not be like other Masquerade Balls you've been to so far. And if you haven't been, this is the perfect one to go to.
Yeah.
How's that for a sales pitch?
I like it.
That's
like
pretty
it.
Solid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was really good.
That's on October 20th at 7 p.m. here at the very, very beautiful Capitol Building. And before we leave, one last thing. I want to give a shout-out to Legacy Washington. If you haven't had an opportunity, come in to the lobby.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, you heard us do a podcast with them on 1968. It's a pretty fabulous little display. So
we invite
everybody to come in and check that out. Thank you, everybody, for joining the show, listening to us, and make sure that you – I would like for you to review us. That's what we're going to call out now. Review
okay.
us on iTunes. That's going to be new. So thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.